Well, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2 tonight. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at a good bit of chapter 2 and a little bit of chapter 4. But just to get us into the message, let's look at verses 1 to 7 of Proverbs 2. We just started the series in Proverbs, God's wisdom book. And let's pick up with verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. I would like for you to think about the five things you would want most in life. Five things you would want most in life. Now, I can imagine if you were to ask a young man what would be on his list. You know, probably a good-looking woman, you know, would be on that list. Maybe a really nice car, a really nice truck would be on that list. But, you know, a lot of folks might put a good education, a good job. A lot of folks would put a good family, definitely, on that list. But I wonder how many people would put obtaining wisdom on their list of top five. Well, I think it ought to be, because if you attain wisdom, then a lot of the other things that bring blessing to your life will come with it. And I believe that's a clear message of the book of Proverbs. Now, I want to remind you what wisdom is. You know, the biblical view of wisdom definitely has a moral component to it. And it's making the right choices in life. Wisdom has to do with having good judgment and choosing the right path and rejecting the wrong path. And it's so important that we gain wisdom. And tonight we're going to see how Solomon seeks to motivate us to obtain wisdom as he talks about the blessings of wisdom. And that will be the main topic tonight, the blessing of wisdom and how to get it. And so let's look, first of all, at the blessings of wisdom that Solomon gives in chapters 2 and 4. And he gives four of the great blessings that come with obtaining wisdom. And the first blessing is this: wisdom will improve your relationship with God. If you look at verses 1 to 4, again, he talks about us seeking after wisdom. And if we obtain wisdom, then verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wisdom certainly will lead you to understand the importance of having a right relationship with God. And the starting place of wisdom and the starting place of a right relationship with God is mentioned in verse 5, and that is the fear of the Lord. I shared last Sunday in chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is that healthy respect and regard for God. And the understanding that that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God, and we are always mindful that we're accountable to Him for what we say and what we do. The fear of the Lord is so very important and wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, and wisdom will also maintain that healthy respect of God. But he also says in verse 5 that you will find the knowledge of God. That through wisdom you will find the knowledge of God. There are two ways you can interpret that. One is the knowledge of God in terms of a personal relationship with God. You know, when we have family and friends, we get to know them. And we get to know them well. We get to know them intimately. And even so, I believe that God wants us to know Him. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. But the knowledge of God also means the knowledge about God. And you will acquire a greater understanding of God and what He's like and so forth. And so wisdom, I believe, will improve your relationship with God. You will understand how important God is in your life. But there's a second blessing that comes with wisdom, and that is this, that wisdom will protect you from harm. Again, wisdom will give you good judgment to choose the right path and refuse the wrong path. And in the process, it will protect you from harm. Now, I wonder tonight how many of us like to get hurt. Any hands want to go up? You know, you like getting hurt. Now, hopefully, we don't have any sadomasochists among us. You don't really want to get hurt. You would rather avoid getting hurt. And certainly, most people are that way. Well, wisdom will help you avoid getting hurt by the sinful people of this world and by the sins of this world. Look at verse 11. Where Solomon says, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And the language there refers to different attributes of wisdom and how wisdom will guard you and how wisdom will protect you from getting hurt and from harm that might come your way. And so wisdom will protect you. And if you look at verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. So again, the author here, Solomon, is saying that if you get wisdom, it will keep you. It will protect you from the harms that are so common in this life. And you know, the greatest harm comes from sin. If you look at verse 12, he goes on to say what wisdom will do. It will deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. You know, Jesus in John chapter 10 likened the devil to a thief who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And folks, the devil is out to harm you. The devil is out to kill you. The devil is out to steal from you. The devil is out to destroy you. And he has a lot of folks in this world that will help him. And wisdom will keep you from the evil way. Wisdom will keep you from the evil one, as we'll see in just a moment. And so wisdom will protect you. He gives some obvious examples, beginning in verse 12 and following. But, you know, we can just mention some other examples in addition to what he gives here. He, you know, for example, I believe wisdom will guide you and keep you from getting messed up with drugs and alcohol, which can lead to so much harm, both for yourself and for others. Wisdom will help you in other areas that we see right here in our text of Scripture. Let's look at some example. In verses 12 to 15, wisdom will protect you from evil people. Look at verses 12 to 15. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Folks, verse 14 describes much of our society today. They rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Folks, this world is full of evil people. This world is full of sinners who would lead you down the wrong path, down the path of destruction. And wisdom shows you and gives you the right kind of judgment to where you say to yourself, you know, if I run with this crowd, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Harm is going to come to me. I'm going to suffer the consequences by running with evil people, by doing what they do. And so Solomon says in verses 12 to 15 that wisdom will protect you from those kinds of people. And that is certainly the case. And look at chapter 4 in verses 14 and 15. He says something similar there. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Again, if you have wisdom, if you have good judgment, you'll know that there are people that you can associate with that are no good for you. And you just best stay away from them. You just best avoid them. That is the wise course of action, and that is what wisdom will do. And then he gives another situation in chapter 2. Another example in chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. He says, to deliver you from the immoral woman. Now, if you have a King James, what is the word used there? The strange woman, that's right. That's actually a more literal translation, because in the original Hebrew, it is the word based on the word for a stranger, a foreigner. And oftentimes the immoral people, prostitutes and people like that, were often people from other countries that were living among the Hebrews. And so, but for our purposes, we can just translate it as here, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Now, in two or three weeks, we're going to be looking at a whole section of Proverbs that deals with the subject of the immoral woman. And so we're only going to touch on it here because it gives an example of how wisdom will protect you from harm such as comes from the immoral woman. And by the way, look at her strategy here in verse 16, the last of the verse. From the seductress who flatters with her words. Now just notice her approach here. You know, she comes along and she flatters with her words. I mean, can you kind of get the picture here? You know, she comes to this guy and he talks about how good looking he is. You know, and he feels his arms. Oh, you're so strong. What a man, you know. And, you know, you're so successful, you know, and, you know, just looking for different ways to flatter him. And the poor old guy just melts like butter, you know. You know, all those words just building up his ego, and man, he likes it. And then she goes in for the kill. Using the power of sexual seduction, she draws him into her web and leads him down the path of ruin and destruction. Yes, wisdom, Solomon says, will give you enough discretion, enough judgment to see what's happening and to avoid the person described there in verse 16. By the way, as you read Solomon, you know, Solomon's always warning about the immoral woman. And, you know, I know some of you are thinking, well, why don't you warn about the immoral man? I mean, my goodness, you know, men are a lot worse in this area most of the time than women, or at least it used to be. Boy, in this day, you know, it's things are really turned around. But, you know, is Solomon just a male chauvinist, you know? Is that why he's always warning about the women? Well, look, folks, remember, who is Proverbs written to? To my son. You know, it's over and over again. It's for his son. The intended audience certainly is for the young man because that is his intended audience. But the principle applies to both genders. You know, young ladies, if and other women that aren't so young, you know, God... Oh, boy. God, give me wisdom to not walk into that trap again. But, you know, now what was I talking about? Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the guy comes along and you know what guys do? You know, they may use a little flattery. Hey, good looking, you know, and boy, the guys know you got to say I love you. You know, you got to touch their heart with the words of love. And you know, it's the same old story. It's the same old story. Watch out for it. Wisdom will give you the judgment to avoid such harm. And by the way, notice the warning in verse 18. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Solomon warns that the prostitute, the adulteress, the other types of immoral relationships oftentimes can literally be deadly. And that's certainly true. You know, think of all the kinds of sexually transmitted diseases that there are. Some of them are deadly, like AIDS. And then think of the adulteress who has a jealous spouse who actually comes after you and kills you for messing with their spouse. Yes, it can lead to death. And did you hear, perhaps today, the report about the Craigslist killer? A young woman who advertised on Craigslist companionship. And everybody knows what that means. Everybody knows what that involves. And so a 42-year-old man who was lonely took the bait and went unto her. Meanwhile, we discover after the fact that at the age of 13, she got involved in a satanic cult and started killing people at the age of 13, and she confessed to a long string of killings using the same kind of strategy. And this particular person, her husband was hidden in the back seat under a blanket. She gave a signal. He reached up and began to strangle the poor victim, and she stabbed him 20 times. Indeed, immorality led to a brutal death, and that's exactly what Solomon includes in this warning here. And so, if you will gain wisdom, it will protect you from harm. It will protect you from physical harm, and it will protect you from heartache as well. Yes, Solomon warns us to be wise and gain wisdom that we might avoid harm. Wisdom has the benefit of keeping you from harm. There's a third blessing of wisdom. Wisdom will lead you to walk with good people. It's kind of the opposite of what we read in verses 12 to 19. Notice what it says in verse 20. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Wisdom will help you reject the wrong paths and the wrong kind of people and choose the right kind of people and the right paths of life, just like he says there in verse 20. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil company corrupts good habits. But on the other hand, good company helps to keep you on the right track. It helps you to live the right kind of life. And so if you're wise, you will choose to walk in the paths of goodness and righteousness, just as it says there in verse 20. But he gives a good reason why we should do so in verse 21. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. In the previous verses, those that walk with the wicked often will be cut off. But in verse 21, those that walk with the righteous, they will dwell in the land. They will remain in it. You realize that studies have verified the wisdom of Solomon as expressed right here. They've analyzed people who live good lives, who go to church and so forth, that on average they live longer than other people do. Certain segments of the population live very short lives compared to the rest of the population. Homosexual men live on the average, or at least the, when I got the statistic, average of 45 years. Only 2% of homosexual men live to the age of 65. Folks, living right will help you live a longer life, just as he says there in verse 21. Of course, there's always exceptions. Jesus was cut off at the age of 33. Stephen died a martyr's death as a young man. There are always exceptions. But on average, and generally speaking, if you live a good and godly life, if you walk with the righteous, you will live long on the earth, just as he says there. Wisdom has wonderful benefits. Well, let me give you one more benefit of wisdom. If you'll gain wisdom, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Wisdom will promote you and give you success and honor. Chapter 4, verses 8. Exalt her, that's wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver unto you. You see what he's saying there? If you get wisdom, you will experience promotion. You will experience honor. You will have an ornament of grace upon your head. You will have a crown of glory. And it's so true that the more wisdom you have, the more success and honor you will have in life. You know, we could give some examples of how young men who have attained wisdom receive promotion and honor. I think of Joseph. Joseph had many hardships, yes, but he was promoted to the second highest position in all of Egypt. David was just a shepherd boy, but David became a king of Israel in God's time. And these are just a few of the examples of the very principle that we see here in verses 8 and verse 9. So I hope that as you've heard the four benefits of wisdom, that you will say, you know what, wisdom is really important. It's so important that I get wisdom. And I hope you're maybe a little more motivated to get wisdom or get more wisdom. And so we're not only going to talk about the benefits of wisdom, but we're also going to talk tonight about how to get wisdom. First of all, to get wisdom, you must be receptive to the wisdom of others. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. You know, Solomon is saying, if you receive my words, he knows that perhaps his son would not receive them. His son would reject the wisdom that he's seeking to impart unto him. And so if we're going to have wisdom, we must do the opposite. Instead of rejecting what Solomon and other scriptures have to say, we need to be receptive to God's wisdom. But notice a danger. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. This will hinder you from being receptive to wisdom. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. You know what? If you think you're already the smartest person in the room, you're probably not going to be receptive to the advice of others, right? You know, so one of the first things that we've got to do is not be wise in our own eyes. We need to have enough humility to understand that there's a whole lot more I can learn. There's a whole lot more wisdom I need to gain. You know, all the wisdom of God in His Word, the wisdom of my parents, the wisdom of my grandparents, you know, the wisdom of my pastors, the wisdom of my teachers. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I think that's the first step to being receptive to the wisdom of others. And so be receptive. And notice some of the language that he uses here. He says here in verse 1, receive my words. We need to be receptive. And we need to listen to God in His Word. There's so much wisdom in His Word. We need to be receptive. We need to listen. We need to study the Word of God. And He says in verse 1, treasure my commands within you. You know, I think that gives an important image. The fact that He says treasure them, first of all, indicates the fact that we need to value the wisdom of the Word of God. Regard it as treasure. But the other idea of treasure is this, that you would take something valuable and to keep it from being lost or stolen, you would hide it away. And, you know, the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And so we need to hide God's word and God's wisdom in our hearts. Now listen, there's a lot of wisdom in this book that you're not going to necessarily need tonight. You're not necessarily going to need it tomorrow. But there will come situations in your life where something in this book is going to be really important for you to know. God has some really good wisdom for you to know. And so we need to learn it and we need to treasure it in our hearts so that when we face those situations where we need to have wise judgment as to what we should and should not do, we will know the Word of God and we will be able to apply it to that particular situation that we're facing in our lives. And so, first of all, we need to be receptive to God's wisdom. Secondly, we need to understand the source of wisdom. Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Folks, the ultimate and true source of wisdom is God. You know, that is so basic that I'm almost embarrassed to even make a point of it. But yeah, there's a whole lot of folks that don't seem to know that truth, right? There's a whole lot of folks that they don't come to church. They live their lives without coming to church or hearing the Word of God. They seem to think that they're smart enough and wise enough and they don't need the wisdom of God. But wisdom comes from God. He's our Creator. He is the all-wise God. He is the very source of wisdom. And so if you're going to obtain wisdom, you must first seek it from God. But you know where most people look to get wisdom for living life? You know, Oprah. You know, view into Oprah or read what Dear Abby has to say, or Dr. Phil, or go down to the bookstores and see what the bookstores have to say about how to have a successful marriage, how to have a good family, how to have a good career, how to be happy in life. And so look to all the worldly experts. But you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:20? It says, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And Paul went on to say, "The world through wisdom did not know God." Listen, you're not going to find real wisdom in this world. The real source of wisdom is God. And so what do we need to do? First of all, we need to pray unto God and ask Him for wisdom. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally." Oh yes, one of the first things you ought to do in life is ask God to give you wisdom. No young lady, no young man should try to go into life and into adulthood without first asking God to give you wisdom. Secondly, you need to study God's Word. Study God's Word. That is the source of wisdom. Of course, Proverbs is a great book of wisdom, but so much other scriptures are full of wisdom. And so you need to study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself to prove to God a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so if you'll study the Word of God, you will get wisdom from this book, folks. You know, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. If you'll just take a Bible and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, you will get so much wisdom from this book. But there's another source of wisdom, and that is that God uses and God works through, and that is through godly people. And you know, I think wisdom begins with godly parents and godly grandparents. It begins in the home. And God gave us parents and God gave us grandparents for a reason. And one of those reasons is they have not only the benefit of the Word of God, but they have the benefit of learning from experience why the Word of God says we're to do this and not do that. And, you know, they just have so much wisdom to share with us. And then, of course, you have pastors and you have Sunday school teachers and others who can impart the wisdom of the Word of God. Get wisdom. It comes from God. But notice something else we are to do if we're going to get wisdom. And that is, we're to seek it diligently. This is really brought out in verses 2 to 4. Notice the different imagery that Solomon piles on to impress upon us that we should not be lackadaisical about getting wisdom, but that we should seek it earnestly. He says in verse 2, "So that you incline your ear to wisdom." You know, if you're going to learn and listen, you need to make an effort. You need to incline your ear. You know, somewhere, I think it was in high school, I wised up. I finally figured out that I would learn more and get better grades if I moved from the back of the classroom to the front of the classroom. And it worked. It really worked. You know, and I started paying much more attention and had less distraction to what the teacher was saying. And you've got to incline your ear to wisdom. You know, God knows whether or not you're inclining your ear to hear me right now. And I know most of the time whether or not you're inclining your ear to hear the Word of God. We need to incline our ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. The Hebrew word apply literally means to turn. And I think of a flower. You put a flower in the window, and you know what's going to happen? That flower and those leaves are going to turn to the sun. And that's what our hearts ought to do with God and the wisdom of God. We ought to turn our hearts to gaining wisdom and understanding from God. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. You see the picture of crying out, lifting up your voice? When I was growing up, every now and then my dog would run off and not come home. And so what would we do? We'd start heading out in the neighborhood. Vicky! Vicky, come home! Right? Or maybe I was out in the woods and didn't come home for supper. And what would they do? They'd come out and call for me and lift up their voice for me. And it gives the picture of seeking someone. And that's the way we are to do with wisdom. We're to seek after it. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Another childhood memory, one of the best things that ever happened in my childhood in our neighborhood was somebody got the idea of bringing in a dump load of sand. And then they hid quarters and other money in that sand. And then they invited all the children in the neighborhood, I guess, to go and dig up the money. And you know what we did? Man, we started going through that. I mean, there was buried treasure there that we were seeking after. Well, folks, wisdom is so much more important than money. And we're to seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Yes, if you're going to obtain wisdom, you've got to be diligent about it. You know, diligent in praying for wisdom, diligent in reading and learning the Word of God and hearing the Word of God at church and in other venues. We need to seek it diligently if we are going to gain it. In chapter 4 in verse 7, he says something similar. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Again, so much flows from wisdom. If you get wisdom, you have so many other things. And so, he says, understand that wisdom is the principal thing. And so as we conclude tonight and as I give the invitation, I'm going to ask you to immediately apply the message to your heart tonight. I'm going to lead us in prayer that God would give us wisdom. That God would give us more wisdom. And that God will help us to seek wisdom as we continue in the book of Proverbs. Would you bow with me at this time?